Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org, one word on East Albertville. Again, the address, preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, things that we will be talking about in our study on this program are not going to be earth-shattering and not even new or original. But at the same time, they're scriptural and they will be helpful, hopefully, to us all, that we'll take them seriously and apply them to our work of being a parent. In this lesson, I'd like for us to consider some of the more serious errors made by parents in the raising of their children. First of all, parents are not teaching their children to know and to love God. Although most of us would never intentionally direct our children away from knowing and loving God, yet it's the secular nature of our society and its influence upon us that can easily lead us to do that very thing. A Christian who was the president of a large state university once stated that students don't lose their faith because evolution or humanism is taught in the classroom, but rather because they become so absorbed in secular activities that they don't take time for spiritual activities like worship, individual Bible study, prayer, and so forth and so on. And they make their friends of the worldly. So they don't die spiritually from poison, they die from malnutrition. And yet, what we must realize is that this is happening long before children get into college. Some of the finest, most loving, most sacrificing parents are contributing to it. You know, unknowingly, we are caving in to the devil's demands. We're filling our children with so much that's secular and not spiritual that there's little or no time for God. School days are longer after the bus rides. There's not much time for family, let alone God. Yet, you know, we add to this a continual stream of extracurricular activities. Band practices with its mandatory Fridays and parades and concerts, sports with their long practices and their mandatory games that goes from one sport into another all throughout the year, scouts with their activities and meetings, and on and on and on this list goes. And we have just about squeezed the spiritual energy out of our kids. You know, no wonder churches can't schedule meetings without conflicting with someone's schedule. And that it's an exception when young people can make every night of their own meeting, or even make a single night of some other congregation's meeting. No wonder our children's heroes are not defenders of the faith, but they're money-grabbing, whining sports figures, entertainers, and musicians. If we follow this road, when do we expect for these young people to change, for them to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as Jesus taught in Matthew 6 and verse 33? Or have we been led to believe that doing all of these secular things is the way that God would have it to be? For example, I know it's supposed to keep them off of drugs, but will it keep them out of hell? You know, God would have us to raise our children with the first and the foremost emphasis on their training and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. God expects even greater things from us today, who have become partakers of salvation through Christ, but His expectations in the Old Testament were quite high. You remember over there in the book of Deuteronomy, there in chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. We'll not take time to read that in just a verse or two, but all from verse 4 down to verse 15. we see what God's expectations were then. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You will bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on the gates." How many parents abandon, or really never even start, the practice of sitting down and studying the Bible with their children daily? Why? Well, there's no time. Does your kid's day go like this? School, practice, TV, supper, shower, bed. You know, these Jews here in Deuteronomy, in the time of Moses, who were given this command, did not take it too seriously, and they lost their children, and eventually lost their nation, and they lost their heritage. People, especially children, learn best by example, and that example needs to be of their parents. In 1 Timothy 4, in verse 12, we see this was the case with Timothy. When it says there in 1 Timothy, notice it says in verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." There was a survey that was done that produced some interesting results. It was found that faithfulness in children was not dependent upon the size of the congregation or the number of classes and special programs that were sponsored by the church, nor was the faithfulness of the children dependent on the effectiveness of the preacher. Instead, it was learned that in cases where both parents were faithful and active, that 93% of their children remained faithful to their religious teaching. When only one parent was faithful and active, that percentage dropped from 93 to 73. When parents were only reasonably active in attending services, but that's not all, their children remained faithful only 53% of the time. And finally, when the parents attended the assemblies only infrequently, the children endured at only a 6% level. Friends, it's a very serious mistake to neglect living and teaching the ways of Christ to our children. Another serious mistake that parents make is that of training their children to believe that happiness is dependent upon things. You know, we live in a very highly materialistic society where prosperity and disposable cash are greater than at any time before. And because of this, it's very easy to allow our children to believe that things equals happiness. And this idea is often encouraged by the mistaken drive of parents that my children are going to have all the things I didn't have when I was growing up. See, that happiness equals more and more things can be instilled by different means. We teach them by example, probably our most powerful means. And we teach them through our example that through endless spending on things, both for ourselves and for our children, that impresses upon them the idea that what we have is never enough, nor is it good enough. You know, take this for a note. High credit card debt. And that's a very good sign that we're teaching our children the wrong things about materialism. And this attitude begins to be manifested in our children when our children, in order to be content at the store, must have a toy or something purchased for them, or there'll be a big fit pitched. And another note is that our kids' rooms and our own houses these days have little space to live because they are so full of toys and things. Children do not appreciate birthdays and other things because they get so much all through the year. You know, you may wonder, well, what's the harm? But God's word reminds us that there are many serious consequences when we go this route. Prosperity and ease are great temptations for self-sufficiency and apostasy. That's what happened to Israel in the days of Moses. God prospered them. Did they serve God faithfully? No, they turned away from God. And that's the tendency. When we have what we want, we don't think we need God. We work hard. We have earned what we have. And God somehow gets shifted further and further back into the background. The continual bestowing of things to our children perverts what the true priorities of life are, and it creates within them a covetous heart. In Proverbs 11 and verse 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. In Proverbs 11 and verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. It's in Luke 12 and verse 15 that Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. See, if we raise our children with this attitude toward happiness, what kind of future are we setting up for our children? It's over in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6. Notice what we read here beginning with verse 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. True wealth and true happiness in this life is what's stated in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 and 7. It's godliness with contentment. Let's read it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. You see, we need to take seriously our responsibilities as parents, and we need to carry them out with forethought and with diligence. The evidence that we have given to us in the Scriptures has shown that it only takes one lax generation of parents to produce a godless generation of children. And yet, if we'll consider the warnings that are given in the Scriptures, we'll be on our way to helping our children be godly individuals and have the confidence of salvation. So let's let God's word teach us how to raise our children and not the world. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you back to our announcer.